The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
HSE documents seen by News Talk have revealed that 12,722 children with autism are overdue an assessment of need. That's an increase of nearly 4,000 since last year. Now, these children have disabilities such as autism and other neurodivergencies. For more on this, I'm joined by News Talk reporter Andrew Lowth. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
When you say these children are overdue an assessment of need, what actually does that mean?
So, for context here, Pat, so the assessment of need is an examination of a child with additional needs, and it looks at what services that child might require, such as speech and language therapy, and it means that they're waiting longer than 6 months, and that's a statutory time frame set out in the Disabilities Act.
Now, that increase seems quite dramatic. So do we know why the numbers are increasing at such a rate?
Well, the HSE says that there's an increase in population which is contributing to it, and there are also around 700 vacancies within child disability network teams. And also, Pat, back in January, there was a High Court judgment which ruled that an educational assessment, which forms part of the assessment need process, that was being carried out improperly in the cases of thousands of children. And that means that all of those would have to have been done again.
So they would have added to the numbers because they become effectively new candidates.
Essentially, yeah. Yeah.
Now, and you've been talking to a parent?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of parents. So, parent of one child who was actually impacted by that High Court judgment. It's a 5-year-old girl named Kyra. She has autism and pathological demand avoidance. And her mother, Charlotte Cahill, has been waiting nearly 3 years for an assessment of need for Kyra now at this stage. And she says that she's had to invest in private speech and language therapy at a significant cost.
Speech therapy for Kyra is honestly the most important therapy that she needs. Kyra's frustration and Kyra's anxiety and her behaviours are all communication. They're a way in which she non-verbally communicates a distress or a want or a need, and having speech therapy brings all of that down. Having speech therapy helps Kyra tell me what she wants, how she wants it. It helps her anxiety come down. It helps the self-injurious behaviours come down. I just got our yearly bill from our therapist. Last year alone, we spent $12,500 on speech therapy alone. That's one session of speech therapy a week. We are around in our $20,000 at this stage for speech therapy and occupational therapy.
Now, do we know how many children could be missing out on vital services if the parents don't have the means to go private?
Well, there isn't exact science to this, Pat, but my estimation would be that it's anywhere between 4,300 and 6,500 children that could be missing out on speech and language therapy, for example. And this is based on how many children who have gotten their assessments completed are found to actually require it. And even those parents who can get private therapies, and many of them still demand the state to carry out the assessment of need, even though they can recognise themselves what their children need. And Kira Riley's daughter, Dhiren, is also 5 and she has a diagnosis for autism. She's mostly nonverbal, and they've been waiting 3.5 years for a completed assessment of need after first requesting one when Dhiren was just 2 years of age. And I asked her why it's important for her family to have this state recognise assessment of need.
I'm getting up in the morning and spending an hour and a half with her doing at-home therapies. She comes home from school, she is supported. We then pursue any manner of extra private therapies. I want the state to tell me, is this the way it's going to be now forever? Because Dhiren is always going to be autistic. She is always going to have an intellectual disability. She is always going to need support. What if I wasn't here? What help would she have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I'm not prepared to accept that. The help we get is, here's a webinar link to learn about XYZ. And the message is, off you go, you do it at home. My second daughter, who is neurotypical and presenting with no needs thus far, were she to develop pronunciation issues or some issue that I felt warranted support, I'm confident that my second daughter, Blanet, who has no needs on any level close to what Dhiren has, she would get help faster than my child who has profound difficulties.
Now, alongside all of that, Andrew, it's important to try and find a school place for children with those additional needs.
That's right, Pat. So we spoke about the educational assessment part of it earlier, And this outlines how best a child should be taught and in what kind of school setting. So there were over 100 children with additional needs who did not have a school place for this year. And that's according to figures from the Children's Ombudsman that were released earlier this year. And Charlotte, who we heard from earlier, says last year she was rejected by 32 schools as she looked for a place for her daughter Kyra, and a further 7 so far this year. And she's worried about what happens next.
I know that Kyra needs to be in school, she needs routine, she needs to be socialising. Her struggles are social. She needs to be around her peers, she needs to be in a structured environment. I can't give her that at home. I'm doing my best to try and support her on a daily basis, but I can't also give her an education at home. I just can't, like, so I genuinely don't know to what will be next year. During the summer, just for instance, she would come down the stairs every single day and she would get her school bag and she'd put it on her back and she would demand that we go out the door. She'd hit herself, she'd scream. She can't speak, obviously, she's non-verbal, but you can tell that this child is absolutely distressed and she wants to go to school. Yes, she's absolutely thriving in the school that she's in right now. She's doing amazing. She's potty trained. She's sitting at a table. She's learning how to use a knife and fork. So to take that away from her, I can't find words for it.
My goodness, it's important that that child has continuity of education. There was some focus on this issue pre-election. Has it come up on the campaign trail much?
Well, a couple of party strategists tell me, Pat, that it's not coming up on every door, but for the doors that it is coming up on, it is the only issue for that particular household. And people recognise that politicians, they understand it and they see how awful it is for many families. And it was actually something I put to Ciara Riley about whether she was happy with the attention that this issue is getting during the election campaign. And she believes the only real way to address this once and for all is for the HSE to be taken to task completely.
I want to see a politician or a political party truly stand up to the HSE and to disability services and say this is not working. We had the embarrassing situation in the last Dáil where we had people, significant people, wielding all sorts of power in the health service who were actively ignoring engaging with Minister Anne Rabbitt, which was covered very well by the hard shoulder. And in spring, when Simon Harris took over, he was actively trying to get people in a room also, as Taoiseach of this country, to get into a room to talk about health service matters. People were not responding to him. Unless we deal with the blocks, the people who are an issue in the system, it will never be addressed. I now engage with the state as regards Dearin schooling and education, which is exemplary. Her school could not do more for us. We are so lucky. But I have cut the health service loose in many ways. I am expecting nothing. We get her domiciliary care allowance and other financial supports that helps us to scratch at the surface of the expense of supporting her needs. We are also in receipt of nappies because she is incontinent. That is our help. I have accepted that could be it.
And that's Ciara Riley, who's mother of 5-year-old Dearin, wrapping up that report by Andrew. Andrew, looks like, according to her anyway, the HSE is a law unto itself beyond political control.
Well, it's not even that. It's the fact that the political parties and politicians understand that this is the case, but yet there's no real desire to change it. It's just to kind of feed more money into it. And that is basically where some parents feel that it's at this stage.
Andrew, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.